and what Jesus did on Friday. There's a beautiful, he had this sermon that said it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Do you guys remember who that was? Yeah, exactly. I don't remember. I love it. It's great. Anyway, my mind just went, he's like very liberal, but he's an amazing pastor. I don't know why that matters. It doesn't. Anyway, so he's got this amazing message called It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Google it. It's fire. Anyway, but we're going to be doing Good Friday service. It's like this. We're going to walk. The cool thing is we're partnering with two other churches. We're really actually coming under City Gate, which is where Adam preached last week and his leads worship. Stephen's led worship there. And they're a Vineyard church, right? Yeah. Don's the pastor. Anyway, we're joining them with their annual Good Friday thing where they do the Stations of the Cross. And if you've never done the Stations of the Cross, I lament for charismatic Christians that have never figured out the beauty of meditating on some of the things that a lot of the other church has grabbed a hold of. And I'm not saying we're wrong, bad, whatever. I just think there's more, okay? Just say there's more. There's so much more, you guys. So this is one of those things that I've never done before, but I'm really, really excited, okay? And so what you do is we're going to go through different stages of the cross. There's 12 of them, right? 12? Again, not done it. And you meditate of the different stations leading up to the cross. And there's going to be a 3, 5, and 7 p.m. On the 7 p.m., we're going to be watching the Passion of the Christ while we do it in silence. I know. And it's going to be ridiculously powerful. May not be for your kids. It's not for ours. So just be aware of that. But the 5 and the 3 and the 5 aren't doing that. And also, Watermark is going to join us. They were already doing Good Friday services. They're amazing, but we're all going to do it together, and it's just going to be so cool. You guys, the Lord is just, he's just on so much out there. He's doing so much. All right. So the Good Friday, and then Easter is going to be amazing. Then the week after that, say wow. The week after, say wow, wow. Say, hey, I'm just kidding. I have too much fun. The week after that, April 4th and 5th, there's like 20 Bethel students coming down with Angelo Jean-Pierre. He heads up the outreach, they're coming down, and they're going to do a Friday night at Hidden House with OC, not OC Rival Nights. Is that what they call OC Rival Nights? Yeah. Yes, that's what it is. Anyway, they're going to be doing that there that Friday night. It's going to fire. And then Saturday, they're coming here. And we might even do some kind of an outreach. How many of you guys would be interested in doing some outreach with a bunch of Bethel students? Raise your hand. Enough to do it? Yeah, should we do it? All right, we will plan that, and we will make it available. We'll figure out what to do. They're a bunch of, like I said, Angelo has been the head of outreach, I don't know, like 10 years. So he is fiery. He literally goes to like football teams and like preaches to them. They invite him. And I think it's crazy. He was on a cruise one time with the whole NFL football team, and they all gave their life to Jesus. There's pictures of them baptizing them in the cruise pool. It's like, ah. So he's going to come. It's going to be beautiful. All right. Okay, we're good. I'm running. Last thing I just want to say, because I haven't said it in a few weeks, the vision of this season, you guys, what the Lord has been putting on first my heart, but I believe it's the whole church, because the more I hear from you, I hear the Lord's been doing the same thing. Two things. I feel this really strongly, that the Lord is actually, he's asking us to build a church that more than we attract people, we attract him. And so that's like the vision for this season, is that we're trying, like God wants us to be a church that everything we do is to attract his presence. Because if you get him, I think you get everything. And so if you just attract people, and I'm not trying to dig on seeker-sensitive churches that are out there to attract people, I love them, and whatever God calls them to do, I'm for. But I just think for us, we're called to attract the Lord. All right? So that's the first place. That's the first thing. The other one is there's going to be a harvest. Amen? Let me say it again. There's going to be a harvest. People are going to get saved. They're going to get put in families, discipled, mentored. They're going to be raised. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. And I want to be a part of it. I don't want it to happen without us, which I don't know if you know, but God, there's a lot of stuff that happens without me because I didn't know the Lord was telling me to do something. I love what Aaron said. It's like he brings the walls down, but he does ask us to do something sometimes, right? Most of the time we're called to do something. There's very rare times when God says, you do too much already, Martha. You just need to sit at my feet and I'll do the rest right now. It's Mary, then Martha, not Martha, then Mary. And so this harvesting's important to me. And so I just want to encourage us. I'm not going to ask who did it this week. I usually do. But I want to encourage you guys. Let's do this part. Turn to the person to your left or your right and say, has anybody told you today that Jesus loves you? Just tell them right now. Tell them. They haven't heard it today. I know. This is silly. I love silly. Okay, now I want you to turn to the other person you didn't turn to and say, gosh, is there anything that I can pray for you about? Now, you're not going to tell them right now, but maybe after the service. Listen, you guys, the Christian walk is about listening. The Christian walk is just about listening. All you're listening for is you're listening for a place where the Lord wants to break in and heal, save, and deliver. You're listening for needs. When somebody at the checkout counter says, no, I'm actually not having a good day, or it's been really hard, you say, wow, well, I'm just going to pray right now for you that the Lord gives you energy and touches your heart. Bless your soul, Father, right now. Don't even ask him in those situations. If someone behind you says, I'm short $10, you just pull your wallet out because it's what Jesus would do. Yeah? This isn't complicated. You don't have to be an evangelist. You just got to be able to listen when you're having a conversation with anyone, your friend, your parents. Sometimes I love just saying this. If God were real, what would you want him to do for you? Because then they're just like, well, I don't believe in God, so he's not real. But what if he was real? This is what I would want. And then it's just like the door is open. Well, we're going to go after this. And then he shows up because he's good. Okay. Amen. Is that clear? All right. That's where we're going. I just feel like everything's going on. Everything's leading to this place of what he's doing. Okay. I'm gonna jump in. Let me pray. Father, I pray right now. Holy Spirit. We wait for you to come and show. Come on, Lord. Show us your glory tonight. We're going to read a lot of scripture tonight, Lord. I pray that you would open our hearts to your word. I pray your word would be like a sword, Lord. Would you convict our hearts to righteousness, God? Would you disciple us, God? Would you lead us tonight, God? Would you bless us, God, as we sit under your teaching, as we sit under, and would you help me deliver the message, God? Deliver it just the way you have it, God. Nothing less, nothing more, God. Amen. Oh, I love it. I love it. What do you guys think? What do you think was the most controversial thing that Jesus did while on earth? Most controversial thing he did. He cast out demons, right? Heck, he definitely healed on the Sabbath. I can't think if he cast out demons on the Sabbath. But he definitely he did some pretty controversial things, didn't he? I think one of the most controversial things Jesus did was eat with sinners, right? I mean, he was always getting in trouble. Whether it was I'm blanking on his name. It wasn't Hezekiah? Was Hezekiah up in a tree? No, it. Zacchaeus, right? The tax collector. And everyone was just like floored that Jesus would break bread with Zacchaeus. Did you know that I have time. It's already started. I'm already worried about time. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think that's Jesus. So this is really interesting, you guys. We're going to talk about communion today for the next 4 weeks. And I know I'm not going to tell it all because we've got, oh my gosh, three other fiery things happening after me. But What was so fascinating to me is that there was a trend. Do you know that the priests, when they went into the holies of holies, everything had to be like cleansed, washed 10 times, Purell, everything, right? Like you had to get so pure going into the holies of holies. It was this thing, and everything had to be sterile, all of it, right? Well, the Pharisees, like, there was a trend happening where they were trying to get more and more holy so that they could go into the temple, so they could go in and they could be with God, so that their righteousness would become even more shiny, right? Like they just polished themselves until they got so shiny for the Lord, righteous, holy, perfect, blameless, all these things. And so, you know, Jesus was always, you know, Jesus had this habit of basically rebuking them for trying to be too holy on the outside and not beautiful enough on the inside. And so what they would do is they talk about, you know, you can't eat certain things because that defiles you. So there was all these rules about food and all this other stuff, when you could eat, when you couldn't eat. Literally, like during Passover, you had to kick all the yeast out of the house. There could be no yeast in the house for a week. And so Jesus comes on the scene and literally just breaks all these rules that they're doing. But what they were trying to do is they were trying to get more holy so that they could commune with the Lord. And what I love about communion is that Jesus basically broke all those rules and says, let's just break bread. Let's just get together. And he would do it with sinners. He would do it with prostitutes. He would do it with tax collectors, the worst of the worst. I love it. He's incredibly controversial. And so that's one of the reasons when Jesus came doing all these things, he was basically... The Pharisees' plan for all of the Jews were to become, like, they were trying to become righteous ones. And they were trying to get everybody else to do it. And Jesus did nothing but try to ruin their plans. He says, woe unto you. You're cleaning off the outside, but the inside is horrible. So Jesus, so that's partly why this was so controversial. And he said, I am the Son of God. That didn't help. But you know, it was the meal part was really big. And so what I love is that the body of Christ, do you know that the body of Christ began with a meal and ended with a meal? It was literally bookend in the Bible. It began with Adam in the garden eating in an unrighteous way. And it ends in Revelation with the wedding supper. Isn't that amazing? Literally, this is, and all throughout the Bible, the covenant meal happens again and again and again. You look at Jacob and Laban when they made agreements for what was going to happen with their family. It says they sealed it with a covenant meal. Again and again, there were meals taken. And so it was the meal that oftentimes used to stamp a covenant done, completed, affirmed, legal. Does that make sense? And so isn't it right that Jesus, on the day before he was crucified, he ends up christening his covenant with a meal. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to talk, I feel like my job today, because I can't do it all, and I know kind of what Adam, I don't know what to, literally before we knew we were talking about communion for 4 weeks, I asked Aaron to preach in 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now. And I was at dinner with him and then Natalie the other night, and he goes, Jesse, do you think I could preach on communion? And I was like, yes. Brother, we're hearing from the Lord. All right, I got to get to my notes. Okay, thank you, Lord. I love it. The body of Christ began with a feast, will end with a feast. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is either heading to a meal, at a meal, coming from a meal, or making a meal. Listen, Jesus loved eating together. That, you know, that the church actually began by surrounding a table. Isn't that beautiful? Somewhere along the line, I don't know which 100-year century it was, we decided to remove the communion table or Eucharist table and put a pulpit there instead. And so we used to surround ourselves. It was unheard of to have a gathering without breaking bread. And we're going to look at that. We're going to read a lot of scripture today. But at some point, we decided that the message was more important. I heard a really interesting, a little convicting, comment in a message while I was kind of learning about this stuff, and it said, if your church stopped doing communion, just kind of silently, not saying anything, would you notice? And I'm going to be real. I don't think we do communion enough. So if you're already going to tell me that, I know. My heart breaks for this a little bit, and that's why we're teaching on it, because not only do I want to do it, but I need us to apprehend it, not just go through the motions. And so, and he said, but what if your church stopped preaching, would you notice? If they stopped leading worship, would you notice? And I'm like, well, now we recognize how much we value something, don't we? And I'm not really trying to like slap us on the wrist. It feels true. And so I don't know exactly how to get there, except that this is how I used to do. I do my life. I'm like, you know what, God, we're just going to start doing something about it. And that's also why we eat dinners there. I love the dinner. Do you guys ever, when you grew up, how many of you guys just when you grew up around the breakfast table, you ate with your, how many of you guys grew up eating breakfast behind a cereal box? Raise your hand. Behind a cereal box, yeah? How many of you guys grew up actually like engaging family in the morning? Raise your hand. So a few of us, yeah. I grew up, I was like one of those guys, I could tell you what Honey Nut Cheerios, the box, the Wheaties box, the Kellogg, the Corn Flakes box with the rooster. I knew all the boxes. I wasn't Christian, so we didn't really know God back then but at all. But that's how we grew up. And the meals just were not. I could tell you all my favorite TV dinners. Stouffer's, you know, I don't remember all the names now. One was like Manwich or something like that. Or was that? Hungry Man. That was it, right? Oh, my God. And they all had some, like, it was like, just to think of what was in these things. It's like, Salisbury steak, that was a big one. Right? And then like the turkey sliced or chicken, I don't know what that was. I didn't care. It was white meat. I don't, whatever. And then there was always the apple something, right? I honestly didn't care. Now I'm like, and now I honestly, the beautiful thing about us is, I'm not saying this is the only way to do it, but as a family, we have, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful for Jessica. I feel like she holds such a strong line for this, but every morning we have breakfast together. And if it's like Monday when I'm at prayer and I miss breakfast, but like, I only do that once a week. If it's twice a week, you're really lucky. If you're the one I'm meeting with at 7 in the morning. But the meals are so important. So important. I remember having a home group. I was part of a home group when I was at a Vineyard church before I got married back in San Diego. And it was the potluck style. And I remember the people said, hey, we're gonna stop doing food because nobody's bringing food. And there was something in me. It was not wisdom. It was just something in me. I was just like, no, we've got to do food. I don't know why, but we have to do food. And they're like, well, you better start bringing something. And I was like, okay, guilty. But to this day, I think now that I've gotten through like this message and cultivating some of the stuff, I'm starting to realize why the meal is so pivotal in home groups and meetings and when we gather. I always used to say, there's just something about eating. Of course there's something about eating. It's in the beginning, the middle, and the end of this book. So when we're talking about communion, I'm also going to talk about breaking bread and eating together. Okay, is that all right? Okay. Community table. It's beautiful, beautiful. All right, let's see. We're going to jump into Acts 2. So if you've got your Bibles, if you have a Bible, hold it up. I love it. Banning Leafster used to say this when he was a youth pastor. If you're going to church without your Bible is like going on a date without a girl, all right? Bring your Bible. It's weird not to. Actually, I said that with my son on the way here. He laughed. But no, but seriously, raise your Bible up. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Amen. All right. The word. Now, don't get me started. The Last Supper, I love, one of the things I love is the emphasis that God is putting on the meal is so beautiful. I'm going to go a little bit further before I jump into the scripture here. The emphasis he does this is in Acts 2, you have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Now, I actually researched this because I wasn't sure I believed it. And maybe it's, maybe who knows, that people are fallible. But many believe that the same upper room that the Spirit of God was outpouring on was the same upper room that Jesus held his Last Supper in. Let that sink in. Do you think that was on accident? Do you think that Jesus decided the Holy Spirit or the Lord, and he's like, I'm gonna pour my Holy Spirit out on the same room that we had communion with the Lord? I love it. All right, we got to get to some scriptures here. Communion, man. Communion means to commune. Communion is a spiritual act that we partake in with profound implications. Some people believe, I thought I would talk about this, I'm not going to talk about it. Some people believe that communion is the actual manifest presence of Jesus Christ, and you can't throw it away once you bless it, okay? Other people believe it's just symbolic, and you can huck it out. It's fine. Like, Adam and I were laughing about priests that would literally have to drink, like, a lot because they overpoured, and you can't throw it out, and they would just get plastered before their message. It's real. That's real, folks. So, but communion, it's this beautiful thing. Communion actually means to commune or fellowship or spend time with the Lord. So when we take communion, when we're eating together, we're fellowship with God. The word Eucharist, which is really another word for this, the ceremony we do, the word Eucharist means to give thanks or thanksgiving. So this is a thanksgiving. You know I can't resist a moment. All right. All right, turn to Luke 22, not Acts 2. I was kidding. Luke 22. And we've got scriptures, Brian. We got them? Yes. Okay, cool. All right. You guys, these lights are tripping me out. I love it. Okay. All right, we're just going to read some scripture. I'm going to talk through a little bit. Luke 22. This is, if you want to take communion, one of my goals by the end of these 4 weeks is that you will know how to take communion either alone by yourself at home, or with family. Why not, right? Why not? Is the live stream just horrible or something? Oh, it's you. I'm just kidding. Okay. And we're going to read through this stuff, and I hope you become experts at taking communion with the Lord, even though we're not going to become experts of following him. All right, Luke 22, 19, verse 19. And when he had taken some bread, this is in the upper room with the disciples, when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is being given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." And so when we have the bread and we have the wine or the juice or whatever it is, we're believing this. Go ahead and pull up 1 Peter. The bread represents the body of the Lord broken for us, okay? And that's it. And he himself, this is the scripture you can grab a hold of. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Say that with me. For by his wounds you were healed. So when we take the bread, I want you to know what you're doing. It's not just like, shoot, yeah. Like it's... Communion is both a joyous time of celebrating what he did, but it can also be a reverent time. It can be solemn. It's okay if you need to cry. You don't have to laugh. You're literally remembering when you take communion what Jesus did on the cross. And for some people, there's a place where you're like, "Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Oh, so joyful that you did that." And other people, it's like, "Wow, you did that for me. And I keep disobeying you. Father, I need your help, Lord. Would you just help me?" So there's no right or wrong way to take communion. But recognize there's a spectrum there. I remember someone was telling me, like, "Oh, I just love communion. It's so joyful." And I just thought, well, that's what I have to be then. Does that make sense? I know you're not like me, but sometimes I grab a hold of a teaching and I just go and I'm learning. Wow, Lord, this is so much bigger than I thought. And so when you take the bread, we're taking it for our healing. And so when we're going to take communion, when we take communion, we're going to say like there's a part where we say, Lord, thank you for your body broken. And if you need healing in your body, say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your body was enough to heal me. For by your stripes, by your wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. Others try to say stripes. And you say, thank you, Lord, that I am healed. And you take, and you literally can be healed in a moment. And if you don't need healing, we can pray for somebody else in that moment. You can intercede. I remember Benny Johnson would say, communion is intercession. And you take the communion cup, you're saying, Lord, I'm so thankful that your body was broken for my friend Steve. Would you heal him right now? And you're interceding. Beautiful. The next one, Ephesians 1:7, wine. This is the wine. This is the blood that was shed for our sins. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Can we all read this together? I just feel like we're supposed to do that. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. God, we should just preach on that for a while. When we take communion, this is the gospel. We could literally, like communion is literally the everlasting message. When we preach on communion, when we take communion, we are preaching the gospel of Jesus' blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. We're going to get to it later, but like, there's a place when we take communion that it's a place of repentance, of humility. Communion becomes a humbling place because in communion we stop and we think, Lord, before I take communion, I don't want to take this in an unrighteous, unworthy manner. Lord, would you just forgive me? I have something against my friend Charlie and Timmy over there too. And you know, Susan, she just really hurt me and I've been holding this offense. And Father, I just release her. I don't know, right? You just get that off your chest. Don't take communion. See, Jesus took, he bled on the cross. The blood is for your sins. Why? Because it's when your sins are washed away, you come into union with him. It was what he did on the cross to have union. I think David preached like for an hour on this last week or 2 weeks ago. It's just the union message, and that's why communion is beautiful. It's so much more than a ritual. All right, we're going to go into Acts 2 now. Acts 2:42, if you want to turn there. Oh, you're on it. They were continually devoting themselves. This is talking about the church, right? This is right after the Acts 2, the big spirit. Like the spirit just fell in the room and they're all praying in tongues. And like 3,000 just got saved. And this is what they say about the church that began. This is the church that started it all, okay? This is like OG, like walk the like, presence OG. Like this is like the original model, okay? And so this is important. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You ever want to know if you're doing this Christianity thing right? There's a checklist. Am I in the Word? This is the teaching of the apostles. This is that, not YouTube, this. Now, YouTube's good too. Get some good meat there too. But this is what they were talking about. They didn't even have this back then. And they still called, like, we need the teachings of the apostles. So that's what they did. And the fellowship, they gathered. Oh gosh, I want to go on this a little bit. Oh, so badly. Some of y'all don't like people. Some of y'all don't like to fellowship with certain people because they make you feel not as excited. You want to like pick and choose who you let into your circle and you have boundaries. Well, I think after 2 days of Dan Moeller, I think we can all just recognize that we're all a little bit too selfish. If you weren't there, listen. Your fellowshipping may not be for you. Actually, it's all about you. You just don't know it. And the breaking of bread and to prayer. They continually devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. You guys, if I can just plug this one more time, prayer has changed my life. Prayer has changed my life. I just pull up, I know I just dogged on YouTube. Pull up Corey Russell on prayer on YouTube and just feast. Just let him wash you in the message of prayer. It changed my life. I heard it last January and it changed my life. So I just don't have time to go into it. But he does. So go listen to him. They devoted themselves to breaking of bread. Verse 46. Day by day. Say day by day. Day by day. Continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread. Again, from house to house, they were taking their meals together, not like alone, together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to the number day by day those who were being saved. Breaking bread house to house, taking their meals together. There was a sense of community. See, the table is to unify us. The table is where we actually become unified. I'll be honest. I don't want to be negative. Just a little bit. I get requests like, oh, we need to unify the church. Let's have a big prayer meeting. Or let's have a big worship night where all the churches are invited. I think we'd be more unified if we just ate together. I don't know about you, I don't know how many prayer meetings or worship nights you've been to with like one voice, one song, one this, whatever, one OC, one Santa Barbara, whatever. And they're not bad. They're good. Let's keep doing them. Don't laugh at me. But how many people did you meet through these things? None. You were too busy worshiping him. I met him. I am unified with him. But it's around the meal that we unify with each other. Do you see the power in that? So good. I know. I should do what Bill does. That was a really good point. That was really good. Or sometimes he'll say, that was better than your reaction. I'm not that level yet, so don't worry. I won't be doing that for a while. Pray for me. All right. Come on. 1 Corinthians. We're going to spend some time here. 1 Corinthians 11. This is Paul's depiction of the Lord's of communion. You can read this during communion. It's also another great one. Here we go. Oh, where does time go? Okay. Now, in giving this next instruction, I do not praise you, Paul. I don't praise you because you come together not for better, but for the worst. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part, I believe it. For there have been factions among you, so that you who are approved may become evident among you. Let me just pause. There's so much division in the church. I don't actually meditate on that or dwell on it. But the reality is all the denominations, all the different ways that we have to do one thing. Do you think the Lord's up there saying, I'm so glad they all do it so differently? Now, I get it. There's room for differences. But like, good grief. Man, I don't know how to do it. I have zero idea how to unite the church in some ways. But I think a meal would be a good start. Verse 20, therefore, when you come together, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For when you eat, each one takes his own supper first, and one goes hungry while another gets drunk. Can I unpack that a little bit? So what Paul is talking about is that they were having these feasts called agape feasts, okay, these love feasts. You ever been to a love feast? I feel like someone's invited me to a love feast before. That's where it's from. In the New Testament, they had these love feasts. And what they would do is part of these feasts would be about communing with the Lord. Communion, they'd break bread, it'd be solemn. They'd remember like they did in the upper room. And the other part would be a potluck. Imagine that, where we got this thing. So the rich would come and they'd bring their abundant gifts, and the poor would come and they'd bring their poor. But once they sat down, everybody was the same. Isn't that beautiful? And so they'd have these big love feasts. But what would actually happen, because the Church of Corinth, if you were here for our series on 1 Corinthians, we went through the whole book and talked. They were a wild bunch of people. And so there was massive divisions between the wealthy and the poor. And so the wealthy would come, and they would kind of like, they'd bring all their really good food and their liquor and stuff, and they would just eat for themselves. Whereas these love feasts were actually a place to feed the poor. And so he's rebuking, and he's saying, he says, each one takes his own supper first, eats it first before anybody else can share it. And then one goes hungry while another gets drunk. And so Paul's rebuking him and says, what is this? This isn't how we do dinners. Verse 22. So he says, well, as others, some go hungry and others get drunk. And I love it. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink, or you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What am I to say to you? Shall I praise you? I do not praise you. So he's saying, listen, if you're that hungry, eat at home. And then bring your food so that other people can enjoy it. Don't come hungry and scarf the food that you brought. Come on, you know how potlucks work. I brought the good stuff. Hurry before anybody else gets it. I feel like I've done that before, and I didn't even know I was messing up. Okay. So 24. Oh, no, verse 23. So for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he betrayed took bread. I think this is astounding that Paul was so close and connected with God and the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit taught him almost the exact words that were spoken of to the apostles. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that. That's amazing. Paul was taught by the Lord, and it was such a close relationship. Oh, my goodness. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Every time we take communion, it is an occasion of partaking of what happened on the cross. It's like saying this. It's like just proclaim and confess all over every time. We did this last week. I know, but I'm going to do it again. And you just say, "Lord, I herein would lay hold of all the benefits of Jesus Christ's full redemption for my life, forgiveness, wholeness, strength, health, sufficiency." And in that moment, communion, we're called to align ourselves with Christ, proclaiming the reality of heaven over our lives. See, that's what you, when you're taking communion, the power comes not from the, whether you used real wine or fake wine or whatever, the power comes from the faith you attach to the act. And when we take communion, we are aligning ourselves with the truth of heaven. Amen? And you might say, well, we did it last month. I don't know about you, but I could use communion. I could use alignment every day. Every day. I'm not saying go take communion every day, but I'm saying we need this every day. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a person must examine," say examine, "must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For the one who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not properly recognize the body. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep or dead. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world." So I don't know that I fully understood what that meant before, but I, like when I was younger, but this idea of Because it's important. I don't want you guys coming to communion being like, I'm afraid, I'm scared. This whole judgment thing, I don't want to. And so it says, must examine himself and eat of the bread and drink of the water. What does it mean? Before you take communion, examine yourself. Don't tell me like, well, I'm under the blood, Jesse. I don't have to examine anything. I've been forgiven. That's not what it's about. It's not about your salvation. It's not about check if you're saved or not. Click, it's still fresh. You know, no, it's examine yourself. Lord, is there any unforgiveness in my heart right now? Father, is there any rebellion in my heart? Father, is there any pride in my heart? I don't know about you guys, but it's not normal for me to stop and be like take inventory how I'm doing. Sometimes, I mean, this does say the Holy Spirit is given to us to remind us of. Actually, it says to convict the world of their sin. But if you're a Christian, he convicts you of your righteousness. And so, I'm not listening, or I don't want to listen. And so communion is a beautiful time where we say, oh, Lord, just would you search my heart, okay? Don't miss that opportunity. Don't miss it. This is actually how we get better. This is how we mature. You don't mature by being like, no, I didn't hear that, Lord. I didn't hear that. No, I am humble. You just don't know me. I'm the humblest ever. But when you take communion, before, you say, Lord, I need, and you know what? How many times do you need to repent? 7 times 77, by the time 77, 100, 77,000, it doesn't matter. It's the perfect number, 7 times 77. It's the perfect 7, it's all perfection. Meaning that as many times as you need to be forgiven is good. This isn't about like, well, I don't measure up, and I get really guilty every time. I feel condemned every time I take communion because I have to think about my sins. No, when we take communion, we're saying, cleanse me, Lord. Thank you for the blood, Lord. I feel so, I can come before the throne of glory with courage and confidence. Amen? Okay. Any questions on that? It's a big point. Any questions? Okay, good. We don't have time anyway. All right. So verse 33. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, I hope you guys appreciate my humor. You can leave a Yelp review if you want. Others have. Okay, so I had a Yelp review. I was like, he said the word freaking. And when you're in the Navy, you know, as an officer, you don't say the F word. So everybody and their mother just says freaking. And I'm like, you're not allowed to say that in church. So I got a Yelp review. My wife actually says not to say it too. So I know not to say it. But that was an alliteration or an illustration. Okay. All right. Verse 33, so then, my brothers and sisters, when you come eat together, wait for one another. Don't eat before everybody eats. If one is hungry, have him eat at home so that you do not come together for judgment. Remember, that sounds like, so you don't come and just scarf all the food up and look like a, yeah. Eat at home first. As to the remaining matters, I will give you instructions when I come. Okay, That's it. I think I'm going to read Isaiah 53 over Easter because that's powerful stuff. I literally was like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this all. He says, don't worry, just read the rest in Easter. I'm like, you got it. Jess, you want to share your testimony? I know we're a little behind, but I think, yeah, come on up here. There's a mic right next to you. You can celebrate my wife. So she's been taking communion. There was a point maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, I don't know, it's been a while now, where the Lord, you just tell it.
Yeah, hi, hello. Yeah. Oh, it's on.
Can you hear her?
No.
Oh, we need David, but he's, David!
I'll just talk loud. Sorry, I need a microphone.
We need you.
So, you guys ever get to this place where you're just like, God, I just need you more. Like, there's got to be another level. I don't know how else to put it. You know, it's like, it doesn't, that's just how it translates to me, another level. I got more. And I was like, well, let me listen to Stephanie Gretzinger because she's on fire right now and I want what she has. So I'm listening to her, but I had to cut myself off because I was like, what I really want is Jesus, not her. But
Brian, would you put the picture up there?
Every now and then you need something to just spur you on. So I listened to one of her messages from Iris Global and she was talking about communion and she said something that was just so beautiful. It spoke to me so deeply. She said, gosh, how's it go? She said, he's the meal. And if we're not feasting on him, we're slowly dying. And I was just like, he's the meal. What is that? Like, God, show me that.
if I'm not feasting on you. And I would have my word time in the morning, and you know, but it just felt like I was still rushing through it, and I'm, you know, if you have a family, you're busy, and I just felt like I'm not feasting. And this revelation of I have to have bread every day. Like, I have to eat you every day. I have to have something from you every day. It can't just be this, like, okay, I got up and I was with you, but I'm already thinking about all the things I have to do. And it was kind of getting like that in my walk with the Lord. And I was so just like, oh, I need more. So she speaks about communion, and it just rocked me. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to take communion every morning. And I had to get up even, I was like, I'm going to get up even earlier because I just need to be ahead of my kids and everything else. Like, he has to be first, and he wasn't 100% first. It was like 15 minutes first, then got off to the gym, and then my mind would be rolling already. It was like, no, I need more. So I started setting up a little plate and a little candle before I'd go to bed in this little area of my house, and this really helps, too, if you have everything set up beforehand and it's there waiting for you. You're not, like, fishing for your Bible and your journal and your everything. But there was just something so beautiful about getting on my knees. And just every morning, I've been doing this for 3 weeks, and I feel like my day, I'm so, like, satiated. Like, I don't have this anger towards my children that I would normally have. Or I don't have this, like, urgency, because God has made me an urgent person, and that's also a gift as well to get things done. But it was just, there was so much more rest coming over me. I had been fed this meal in the morning with the Lord, and there's been something so beautiful about just all the things that Jesse shared, of just that remembering, and it's done something different in me than just opening my word in my journal. I can't describe it unless you just have to do it and see for yourself. But it's been so powerful. But just that idea that I need fresh bread, like the people when they were gathering the manna, they couldn't just, it would get moldy, like, by the next day. You can't live off yesterday's food. You have to get it every morning. And so the act of getting on my knees and holding this piece of bread and you know, praying and taking that, mine is beet juice, but don't judge me. It's red, okay?
You can judge her. You can judge her.
Actually, I did take wine the first couple mornings because we didn't have anything else, and I was like, oh, man, 4 a.m. wine is different, okay? But, you know, I got it down. I watered it down, and I said, as I'm watering it down, I'm like, oh, you can't water down the blood, and Jesus was like, but I turned the water to wine. I'm like, yes, I'm watering. Okay, you did. So he can turn your water into wine if you want. But anyway, I just encourage you to try it. It's like a fun experiment with the Lord, you know? What do you got to lose?
So good. That's right. Don't worry about it. I literally had taken a picture of, it's on our kitchen. And so it just says, you know, he's the meal. If we're not feasting on him, we're slowly dying. And so it's just up there in our kitchen. So we read it, and it's beautiful. And she did a great job. My wife's amazing. You're all amazing. Here's what I want to do. I just want to close this, and then we're going to take communion. And we might run a little late. I just, to be honest, you guys, I just don't care. So if you need to run, I bless you. You're beautiful. If we're going to go a little longer, that's okay too. I don't want to feel like I have to fit us into a certain timetable because it's the top of the hour, the kids, all that stuff. It's real, but it's not that real. So what do I want to say to finish this up? In communion, we align ourselves with what Jesus bought and paid for on the cross. That's just what we do. Jessica was talking about doing it every day. Can you imagine what would happen if you were present with the Lord, present with yourself? I'll be honest, most of us have no idea what's going inside of our hearts. We're just on autopilot making messes. Imagine sitting before the Lord with communion, with something that actually connects you and triggers you into his presence. And you're able to be like, Lord, search my heart. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your body paid for my migraines. I have no more migraines, Lord. You healed them all. Boom. And you just do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it. And you're like, well, I don't know if I have any faith for this. You do it anyway. Because you are growing in faith. As we hold the body and blood of Christ in our hands, we hold the reality that we are one with God. It was the Father's desire that you and me would be reconciled to him through the blood of Jesus, what was done on the cross, which we're gonna walk down in a little bit. To quickly skip past these moments of communion would be missing an opportunity to live in a higher place in life. If you are anxious, this is when you let the reality that Jesus dwelt in darkness and chaos so that you could have peace. If you're depressed, Jesus took on depression so that you could have joy. He took on poverty so that you could be satiated and have enough. This is what stepping into. And people say, well, how do I live like that? You take communion. Is it the only way? No. You can actually just apprehend it by faith, by reading your Bible. But communion is designed to connect us with the reality of it, okay? Is that good? Okay, here's what I want you to do. The Lord showed me something. I want you all to stand up. We're going to take communion together. And I'm going to do something different. But he showed it to me, so you have to do it. I'm just kidding. You don't have to. We're gonna hang out in a second. Just 1 second. I don't know why you guys, I don't know why this is special. It doesn't have to be, but neither does walking around walls 7 times and they fall down, okay? So just don't hassle me, all right? That's so funny you said, well, I didn't even come up with this stuff. We're gonna get in a big circle. We're going to take communion alone, just you and I are going to be talking to each other, but we're going to do it together. So why don't you make a big circle around these two inner rows? I think we're going to be okay. If we need to get a little bigger and bulge out, we can, but I felt like what we're supposed to do. David's going to put a little bit of music on the background.
Come in quiet, come in close.
You guys got fill on the sides in. I know you're just waiting for people. That's good. Go ahead and pass out the elements. Oh, yes, Lord.
Lift him up.
I'll just stay there. Okay.
Let his fire.
So get a cup. It's coming around.
Offer him what
I stole these from the Anglican Church. So these are the real thing.
Lift him up.
I'm going to pay him back. You guys are looking at me.
Lift him up.
Did you get one? You good? Do you guys know how these work? Any questions? All right, hold on. You can just wait. I mean, you can pull it out if you want. But don't take it yet. If you want to take the wafer, you can. Forgive me for not having, like, fresh bread and organic juice or wine. I honestly didn't think we were going to take communion today. And the Lord just really put it on my heart. And by then, I had to steal. Okay? Borrow. Sorry. Borrow. I didn't steal, Jess. My wife's telling me stop it. It's a good woman. Okay. Oh, Lord. All right, this is for you. I'm going to wait a second.
Sing the song that won't corrode. Name that all of
heaven. I'm just going to take the bread first and then the wine. I want you to think about what it might have been like to be sitting around the table, maybe with Jesus. Maybe you were part of that early church that just feasted together, and they grabbed a big loaf of bread and they saw him pause the celebration so that they could break bread together and remember what happened in the past. And if you have anything in your heart right now, any unforgiveness, any of that, now is when you do that. Now is when you search your heart, Lord. Search my heart. David said, search me and know me. You don't have to worry about being introspective. You don't have to go looking for sins. But ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything you want to bring up, Holy Spirit? Is there anything I could lay down at your feet? I want to, God. I am better when I come to you, God. And that on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this and remember me." And as you're taking the bread, as you're taking the body, think about, is there any sickness in your body? Is there anything that needs to be healed? This is by faith we are healed. He's already done it. There's no magical chemistry that happens with the bread. You're literally partaking of what he's done 2,000 years ago. This is true. This is how all healing happens. You don't need a word of knowledge. Communion works just fine. If you don't have any sickness in your body, in fact, there's a brother I know that, I'm just going to say his name is Steve, and it wasn't a stroke, it was an epileptic seizure, I think. And he's just really sick. And so I'm thinking of Steve right now. Lord, would you heal Steve? There's people in here that I know. Lord, would you heal? I don't want to call it names, because I'm going to leave somebody out. But I'm thinking of you right now. And so let's take the body broken for us. By his stripes, we are healed. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I'm just going to read that scripture. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings according to the riches of his grace." This is all him. This is where you just sit at his feet and let him heal you. So, as you take this, let your sins, let any separation you feel, let any sadness, depression, anything that blood needs to cover over right now, any sense of guilt and shame over something you've done, this is when you say, "Lord, would you just heal me of that?" Go ahead when you're ready. As the Eucharist means thanksgiving, let's just begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord. Holy is the Lord Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given us a way to partake of the divine covenant. Let you sit for just like 20 more seconds, you guys. Just meditate on what he's doing in you right now. How is this changing your life? Thank you, Jesus, what you did. Come in quiet, come in close. Give him reverence, give him love.
Come in quiet, come in close. Give him reverence, give him love. Lift him up.
Lift him up.
Lift him up. Let his fire fill your soul. Offer him what matters.
Offer him what matters most.
Lift him up.
Just lay your life down.
Lift him up.
If you want to sing.
Holy is the Lord Almighty. Sing the song that won't corrode. Name that all of heaven knows. Who was and is to come. Oh, lift him up. Oh,
yeah. So Father, we just just put your hand on the person next to you. This is, we come together, we fellowship, breaking bread, fellowshipping in prayer. I'm thankful for each one of you. Father, would you make us one? Would you make us one? Help us to fall in love with each other as we eat together and we break bread together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job. Oh. What'd you think? Is that good? He's got good ideas. Praise the Lord. So we're going to get deeper into communion every week. You're like, is there more? Oh my goodness, you guys. There's a marriage story that Adam's unpacking next week, and it's going to blow your mind. Amen? All right, you guys, go get your kids.